This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. It's such a great feeling to be able to share and add value to your life through this means. I'm not in the studio alone. I have my good friend Gio here today with me. Gio, how are you?
Good. Hello, everyone.
And today we have a good episode. I recently had opportunity to speak at my church, Journey Church, under the leadership of Pastor JJ and Liz Vasquez. Incredible leaders. Had the recent opportunity to share a message entitled, "It's Not What It Looks Like." And it really just came from just the overflow of just my personal time with the Lord. And it was really just a message that challenged all of us to possibly see that what we see maybe with our physical eyes, there's maybe more to it. There's maybe something else happening in the spiritual. And I wonder what if we looked at our problems a little bit differently, not like our problems were the end of us, but rather God wanted to use that to maybe build us up rather than break us down. And there was a story that I shared there. It had to do with me and my wife, or my wife and I rather, and it was week one of our marriage. And I remember that, man, we were just so in love. You know that love, week one love. And we wanted to do everything together. We're in our humble, small apartment living in Gainesville, Florida at this time. And I asked her, "Hey, is there anything I can do to help you prepare dinner?" Now, something you got to know about me is, at least in that time, I was not very gifted in the kitchen. In other words, I didn't know how to cook. Like, I make like a mean cereal, and oh man, my sandwiches are on a whole nother level. But that's the extent of my meals. But I remember she was so kind enough and generous with me that she said, "You know what? Well, why don't you help me with the salad?" That's like basic stuff, right? Like, there's no way you can really mess that up. Or at least I thought so. And so here I am, I'm gathering all the items we need. I'm rinsing them, I'm cutting them, I'm putting them into a bowl. And then she says, "Hey, don't forget the tomatoes." She absolutely loves tomatoes. And so, okay, cool. I went and I grabbed one and I start cutting it. And our kitchen was not very large at all. So like from the other side of the room, like 3 feet away, she yells at the top of her lungs, "Hey, you're doing it wrong. Stop." And I'm like frozen, like a deer in headlights, right? Like, I'm like, what did I just do? Like, how did I jack this up? Like, I only had one job. And she's like, "You actually don't cut it like that. You cut it another way." Now, it's kind of hard to kind of show you, paint the picture just with words, but just imagine that I was cutting it horizontally and she wanted me to cut it vertically. And I remember I said a statement that day that honestly has stayed with us for the entire time. For the entire length now of our marriage. And it's become like a sound, like it's become like an inner language, like an inside joke that gives meaning to us. And now you'll understand it if you ever hear us say it to each other. But basically it was, there's more than one way to cut a tomato. In other words, hey, like just because I don't do it like you do, or because what you've done it in the past doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong. It's just we're different. And so we've actually said that multiple times now when it comes to like just when we don't see on the same page, you know, on a certain subject. But I opened up that message with this story because I shared a passage of scripture where there was one problem, yet Jesus saw it one way and the disciples saw it a different way. And so today I actually want to share with you an excerpt from that message, and I really hope that it blesses your life. If you want to watch the entire message, you can. Simply go to joeysalazar.org/videos and you'll be able to see the link there. But once again, this is the sermon. It's not what it looks like. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode.
This lesson has come up over and over and over again in my life where it's challenged me to again consider the fact, consider the idea, hey, is there more than one way to see the same thing? And so today I want to talk to you about, it's not what it looks like, but as a subtitle, I want to give you this title, A New Way to See Your Problems. I can't promise you that you'll never have a problem again. I can't promise you that you're going to have money falling out of your pockets. I can't promise you that you're never going to get a red light again while you're driving. I can't promise you that your kids are never going to talk back again. But I wonder, what if we could change our perspective? What if we can change the way we see our problems? Because I've come to understand this, and hopefully this blesses somebody. Sometimes spending time in the presence of God, it doesn't always fix our problems, but it does fix our perspective. Maybe you came into this place. Maybe you logged on right now and you're like, man, I have a problem and God needs to solve it. Well, what if he doesn't necessarily want to solve your problem first? What if he wants to fix your perspective? Is it possible that maybe God is up to something else and maybe we just don't know about it yet? I want to share with you a passage of scripture, actually a couple of passages. And I say a couple because in the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is only two stories that show up in all four books. Different books have different stories, but there's only two that show up in all the first four books. And the first one is when Jesus dies and is buried, but yet comes back to life. And well, that's a pretty important story. I think we need in all the books, right? So that's understandable. But there's another story, which is the one I'm going to talk to you about today. And it's where Jesus feeds the 5,000. They're outside, huge multitude, huge crowd. Jesus is teaching and it's amazing. And he feeds them, but what the benefit we have today, us having the Bible now, is that we get to see from different points of view the same story. And it amazes me how the same thing can be seen by different people in different ways. And that's what we're going to read about today in Mark chapter 6. We're gonna start on verse 35, actually. We're gonna start on Mark chapter 6, verse 35. Up until this point, Jesus has gathered his disciples. He's been teaching. There's a huge crowd around them. And now this is the scene that we're walking into right now, starting with verse number 35. It says, "By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.'" And we're going to stop reading right there. It's crazy because it's one issue, yet two different perspectives. We have the disciples, Jesus' first small group, right? And they're probably hungry themselves. They've been teaching. They've been outside. They're probably worn out and tired, and they're hungry. I mean, and it's understandable. And all of a sudden, they come up to Jesus and be like, "Hey, man, like you know what? We're not going to say we're hungry. Let's blame it on the people. Man, look at all those people out there. Like, they've been here for a long time. Like, they're probably really, really hungry. Like, we should send them away. Like, and we'll come. We'll pick this up another day. Like, hey, I think it's time. Like, you taught enough. Like, it's good to let's wrap it up right here." But yet Jesus sees the very same thing, the very same problem, and has a whole different reaction. He says, "We don't need to send them away. You feed them." One issue, two perspectives. Send them away. No, you feed them. Now go with me if you have your Bible. If not, again, they're on the screen. John chapter 6, verse 6. Same passage, I'm sorry, same story, again, just different point of view. The Bible says that Jesus says to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. I want to highlight two things here, because the first one is a question. Jesus is asking Philip a question: where are we going to buy bread from? Now, there's several things that we believe about Jesus. One, that he's omnipotent means he's all powerful. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too heavy. There's nothing too difficult for our God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We believe that he's omnipresent. He's with us right now, but he's with you online at home. We believe that he's with you when you go home. He believes he's with you when you're in your car and at work. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We believe that he's omniscient, meaning he's all knowing, like nothing catches him by surprise. He's not up there taking e-courses. He's not up there trying to stay up to date on what the new things that are coming out. He just knows everything. And so I think it's so interesting why an all-knowing God would ask Philip a question. I think we got to pay attention to that a little bit. I mean, it makes sense if we ask each other questions. Man, if we have a conversation, if we go out to eat, if we spend some time together, it is not uncommon for myself to pull out my phone and pull up some questions. Legit, I have some questions that I ask different types of people, different people who speak into my life, like, you know what, a mentor, a friend, first-time guest, family, dads. Like, I have questions for everybody. I have questions for days. And that makes sense because I'm not very smart, and so I need to learn from your life, but why would an all-knowing God want to take the time to ask us some questions? And I wonder if the answer really wasn't because Jesus didn't know. I wonder if more is for Philip to really hear himself think out loud and see maybe what was on the inside of him. The Bible says there very clearly in verse number 6 that Jesus asked this again, "Where shall we buy bread?" only to test him. It was only a test. It was a setup. Jesus knew the entire time what he was going to do. All right, let's be a little interactive right now. If I squeeze an orange, what's going to come out? If I squeeze an apple, what's going to come out? Apple juice, right? If I squeeze a mango, what kind of juice is going to come out? Whatever's on the inside is naturally going to come out. And so when life's pressures are on your shoulders, my question for you, now you don't got to say this out loud, just think about this and just kind of meditate on this, but when life's pressures are squeezing you, what comes out? What are the first thoughts that come into your mind? Don't say them. We're in church. When somebody cuts you off while driving, when somebody else gets the promotion, when they just got there and they got the promotion, when you've been praying for a man, and you've been praying for a lady, and it seems like everybody else is getting engaged, when it seems like everybody else is getting healed, when it seems like everybody else's prayers are being answered, what's on the inside of you? Here's a vision test for you. Ready? Do you see opposition or do you see opportunity? Do you see a problem or do you see potential? Do you see a mess or do you see ingredients for a miracle? Because your vision matters, your faith matters, your perspective matters, and whatever the Bible says, whatever you look for, you will find. That's why you've got to be careful what you tell yourself. That's why you got to be careful what you declare over your life. That's why you got to be careful what you say over your kids. Oh, you're so annoying. You had them. Be careful what you say to your spouse. Man, you never do anything right. If you're looking for something to complain about, you will always find it. But if you find something to celebrate, you know what? You'll also always find it. Because what you're looking for is what you will find. And what's on the inside of you is what's going to come out. The Bible says that when Jesus asked Philip, "Hey, how are we going to do this?" It was only a test. Look at your neighbor and tell him, it was only a test. It was a setup. It was a setup. Jesus already had a plan. Man, I really hope that this frees somebody. And I wrote it down like this. Before you had a problem, God already had a plan. Whatever problem you're going through right now, whatever problem you're facing right now, can I tell you, man, it would be freeing if you would simply change your perspective and see it as a test, see it as a setup, see it as ingredients for a miracle, and know that God already has a plan in place and he's working behind the scenes on your behalf. He's working behind the scenes on your behalf. Before you had a problem, he already had a plan. Your problem didn't catch him off by surprise. He's not in heaven somewhere in the fetal position on the floor crying, surrounded by angels, saying, oh my gosh, I cannot believe she is going through that. What am I going to do? He is not scared of your problem. He is not intimidated by your issue. What if this thing, God allowed it? Maybe he didn't send it, but what if he allowed it because it's a test to see really what's on the inside of you? We've got to be careful because what's on, we got to be careful what we label it. We got to be careful what we say, because check this out. Well, our labels become lenses, and our lenses become limitations. Labels lead to lenses that lead to limitations. We were in Tampa yesterday. My wife was very kind enough to invest in my life and pick up some glasses for me. I don't necessarily need glasses, but I thought these were pretty cool. And so she was kind enough to get them for me. And so these are really in right now. I don't want to brag or anything like that, but you know, everybody's got them. But they're pretty cool. I thought I'd just kind of show them off to you a little bit. How do I look? Nixon, okay, bro? I think the youth call it fire today. Labels become lenses. I really can't see you, okay? So don't go anywhere, because I hope you stay there, right? Labels become lenses that then leads to limitations. And I wonder what lenses you have on today. Your lenses are provided by the labels that you've used. Your labels are AKA just the words you've said over your life. Your labels are the things that you've declared over your family, the things you've declared. I wonder if maybe we've been calling it the wrong thing, and that's why we're seeing the wrong stuff. What if today we just had a change of perspective? What if today we just went all to the eye doctor, God, and we just had an eye test, and he removed them? I can see so much clearer now. I can see so much further. Now I can really see what's going on, but it wasn't until the lenses came off. I wonder if today there are some lenses. I wonder if there's some things that we need to throw down before the Lord. And this is the final point. Not only look in, look out, look up, but you gotta look again. Look again. Look at this thing again. Go look one more time at your situation, but this time look at it from a different point of view. That's good. The Bible says in chapter 6, verse 12, that they go back again. And after everybody had ate and they ate really well, they had a good meal that day. Fish sandwiches for everybody. The Bible says there were still left over. 12 baskets full enough. The Bible says, though, and I love it. I love it here because the Bible says, gather, Jesus, these are the instructions that Jesus gives the disciples. Gather the broken pieces that are left over. When I read the word broken, I was like, that's true. They broke it. I went back to earlier in the passage where we talked about looking up. The Bible says that Jesus, looking up to heaven, gave thanks, and then he broke it. And I was like, broke is an interesting word, because broke can mean a lot of things for different people. I'm not talking about like money broke today, but that's one way you can think about it. I'm just thinking about, have you ever received a gift? Have you ever received a package in the mail that arrived broken? Oh my gosh, the frustration. Oh, Amazon is going to hear me now. I'm gonna get my money back and an upgrade. You know, like, they're gonna know me. But the Bible says that Jesus broke, and I thought that word was so interesting, because for us, brokenness a lot of times is a negative word. Brokenness is something we don't like. In the natural, we don't keep broken things. In the natural, we don't accept broken gifts. We don't want broken stuff. I don't want to look like I'm broken. I want to look like I have it all together. But can I tell you that it's different in the spiritual? Can I tell you that it's different, that it's not until we have been broken that we can be a blessing? It's in our brokenness that we can be a blessing. And so I wondered, as I began to look back in my own life, moments that really didn't make a lot of sense. They looked like they were broken, but I just wrote down a couple here. It was a broken situation when I had to leave my home city. I was comfortable there, but God was calling me away. God, why would you want to mess up my plans? It was broken when my parents had to separate for a season because their marriage really wasn't working out. It didn't make a lot of sense then, but God, what are you up to? It didn't make a lot of sense when, God, I didn't get the job I thought I was qualified for, the one I was supposed, like I was the best one to get it. Why didn't you let me get it? It didn't make a lot of sense there. When the relationships didn't work out, God, that hurt. Why did I have to suffer through that? It doesn't make a lot of sense. The conclusion I had to come to that day was simply, the blessings of God don't always seem like blessings at the beginning. The blessings of God don't always seem as blessings in the beginning. And it's craziness because brokenness is what so much I was trying to hide from. And brokenness was so much what I was trying to stay away from. But it's crazy to think that brokenness is what Jesus was after in my life. And that is what he's after in your life as well. I want to introduce to you a Japanese art of pottery. It's called kintsugi. You might be familiar with this. It's basically where the craftsman, the potter, after creating a beautiful piece of pottery, will intentionally grab it and throw it on the floor and break it. But not to throw it to the side, not to throw it away, only to pick up the pieces, come back to his work table, and begin to put it back together. His glue is infused with precious stone. There's gold and there's silver, and it looks something kind of like this. Can we show it? Like it ends up becoming something beautiful. But when you think about it, it's a whole bunch of broken pieces that somebody just put back together. And how amazing would it be that after today's message, we all were able to kind of turn the page, maybe flip the lenses a little bit and see that maybe brokenness in our life isn't necessarily a bad thing. What if brokenness is really what he wants for our lives? Because some things can't work until they're simply broken. I don't know anybody here, if this is you, God bless you, but I've never met somebody who eats the whole egg without taking that out of the shell first. If that is you, my friend, we will pray for you all by yourself for your digestive system. Nobody chews on an egg. You crack it. You break it. What about a glow stick? Like, it's cool, right? But it doesn't work until you break it. Can I tell you that maybe some of the things that God is really wanting to do in our lives, they're not clicking yet. They're not working yet. Why? Because we're so hesitant to be broken. Because we want to have it all together. We want to look a certain way. We want to have this reputation of having it all together and all this stuff. But God, I believe, is looking for broken people today. People who will accept their brokenness, the difficult areas of your lives, the scars that maybe you have that you've gone through, that you've been trying to put makeup on top of. The potter here, they don't disguise the dysfunction. The dysfunction is what makes these pieces of pottery so valuable. The more broken it is, the more gold it can have, the more precious it becomes, the more expensive it is. And I wonder today if we've been looking at brokenness wrong. The Bible says that when Jesus got the loaf of bread and he looked up and he broke it, he began to pass it out to the people. And here is the revelation that I want to leave you with today. And I really pray that it gets into your soul the way it got into mine this past week. The more pieces you become, the more people you can feed. If you just want to feed a little bit of people, that just means you're going to need to be broken just a little bit. But maybe you've been looking at it wrong this entire time. All that hardship, all that difficulty, all that brokenness. God, I feel like a million pieces. God, I feel like I'm all over the place. God's like, yeah, because you know what? You're about to feed a lot of people. That's why you had to go through some stuff. That's why it happened in your family. That's why that happened at your job. That's why it happened with your health. That's why it happened in your mental health. That's why you had those thoughts. Because the more pieces you are, the more people you feed. The more people you feed. And so God, don't take away the problems. God, help us fix our perspective.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.